We'll start another one. We're now on Kuf Beis Amud Aleph at the Mishnah. At the bottom of the page. Very interesting Mishnah over here. Karina Truma, Basman Shuma Khanson, Hein Asuras, the Mishlichan Mutaris. When it comes to the seeds of the Truma fruit, this is the rule. If the Kohen gathers the seeds to keep.
Were we talking about seeds that were left over from fruit?
No, they're part of the plant. So I'm giving him an orange. It's got seeds in the orange or
in the fruit.
In the fruit, and he eats them. Hein Asuras, the Asur. And if he throws them out, then they're mutter. Okay, so it says over here in 16, let's look at a little bit here, just to get the idea here. Seeds, even those that are somewhat edible, are not considered to be food and are not subject to truma by biblical law. Although the seeds are contained within the fruit, you might have thought that they are become, they're like tuffle to the fruit and they would have been had the same Kedushas Truma that it tells us the Mishnah. It's not the case. However, the Chacham were afraid that people might confuse the seeds with the actual food and assume that just like the seeds don't have Truma, so too the produce itself. So they decreed that when he keeps edible seeds, they're treated as food.
So, okay. For Kedushas Shvi's, would it have Kedusha the seeds? Just like the peel. Is it the peel Kedushas Shvi's?
Edible peels, not inedible. Inedible peels.
Oh, so you're saying like vegetables when you
right? Like vegetables.
So
yeah.
Peel cucumber.
Everybody I knew in Eretz Yisrael, when they peel cucumbers, they put it on the side.
Right, and they let it rot. But this Svara, right? He's saying that the seeds would be the same. They don't have Kedusha Shvi'is.
Yeah, if you're trying to make comparisons to this and Shvi'is, you know, you have to be done each case. I can't tell you right now what the din is. I'm going to come up with that. I had that same question with the final halacha. We're going to learn soon. Okay. Next, we're on the base. Kuf Beis on the base. The Chedat Tzom Shal Kachin. This reminded me, Abe, of the shir from Weinstetter. All of a sudden, we're talking about a Thomas. Bones of consecrated offerings. When you gather them, then they're also of a mishlichon. If you throw them away with tarp, then they're butter. So you're talking about bones of kachim. So bones of kachim, like if you had a chatas, which is eaten by the kohen, and the chatas has bones. Some of the bones he just throws away, and some of the bones he'll want to eat. So, he's not going to eat the bones, but he's
going to eat it. He's going to eat on the bones.
I mean, some people put bones in their cholent, I guess.
Yeah. What about giving it to animals? Can you give it to animals?
You're asking if you have a bone of kachim, can you give it to animals? I don't think so.
I mean, after the coin is finished with it.
I don't think you can give anything to animals from kachim. I think it's a design. I think it's a design for kachim.
What does he say?
Who's he?
Guy in the computer.
Abe, there's a request from the floor. They want to know whether you what your opinion is. Tzvi, you can also chime in here. If you have bones that have been discarded from a kohen after the meal, can you then subsequently give it to your dog?
Kachim
bones. Can you give it to the dog? He says he doesn't think so. Tzvi, do you agree?
You can't bring a dog in the face of a dog.
I don't know too much about it, but...
Sounds right, right? Okay.
Absolutely, I'm a Doshim.
Well, I'm a Doshim, you know. You don't speak... That's for sure. This is better than Sulem Doshim. This is stuff that a good coin ate. Anyway, let's go on.
What it says that the wife did not pay to a non-coin?
What was that?
When it says bim hishlichon mutarid,
right,
that means it's put to a non-kohen, a
zar? Yes.
Okay.
That's what it says.
It's interesting though. The footnote says that there's no blia of tam into the etzem. Is that interesting?
I don't have that.
Or is there rav or the zara?
See, you have a little extra.
A little extra.
Very good.
What's the number for that?
Number two.
No. He has Hebrew. We don't have his Hebrew thing. Okay. Let's go on. Hamur son mutar. Now we're talking about, and here you have to understand a little bit about how grain is shaped and what happens here. The hulls of truma grain are mutar to a non-kohen. They're considered completely non-edible. Suvin, we'll see in a second what each thing is. Suvin of the bran of the truma. Shachadash is a source of its new grain. It's prohibited because it contains flour. It's fresher and there's more flour in it. Shalyushanos mutaros, if it's all grain, it contains no flour. So you've got the bran, and then you have
the hull.
What's he called it?
The hull.
I'm sorry, I should have started with the hull. The hull and the bran.
Yeah, the hull is the most outer part.
Yeah.
Then comes the bran, and then comes the kernel.
That's in three. He says the hulls are removed through pounding before the milling commences. The hulls removed through pounding are not edible. They're not classified as food. So they don't get any truma sanctity and are permitted to non-kohanim. And since they're removed before it's milled, they don't contain traces of truma flour, and they can't be usher. Bran is a thin coating around the kernel of grain. After the grain is milled, the flour is sifted, and the bran removed. The bran itself typically is discarded, and therefore it does not acquire truma sanctity, permitted to non-kohanim. Okay? As it says, lechem. Okay. Still, if it's new grain, it says it's prohibited. Because new grain is moist, it cannot be milled effectively. So much flour sticks to the bran. Okay, so that's the basic idea. Fine. Let's go on. Knowing betruma, kederach shehu knowing b'cholin, the kohen can treat the removal of the bran just like he's knowing by the chulin. In other words, if you usually discard the bran, even though there might be a little bit of truma flour in there, you don't have to be worried about you're destroying truma, because you're behaving with it the way you normally behave with your wheat, right?
Chulin.
With your chulin. Hamasalais.
He says it's from a pasuk. Kilachmo.
Oh, very good. Kilachmo. There's a key drasha. That is his lechem.
To do what he.
That is to say, tells me that he can treat it like he normally does. Hamasalis kava kabayim lasaw. If someone is very big captain, let's suppose you are very big mafunuk, and you want to make your flour so fine that you're going to sift your flour so you get one or two kav per saw. So that's very, very, very fine. Now, so all you're going to get is a small amount of flour, but the rest you're not interested in because you discard it. So lo yabis hashar, there you can't throw it away because that's edible.
Just because you don't want it, that doesn't make it non.
Correct. Correct. Elyonei kenova makam amotzi, so you put it in a hiding place and it will rot over there. Or until you find somebody who will eat it. Either way. Megura shapino imenachite truma. If you had a storeroom and you cleared it out, so imagine you had a big room, you had piles of truma there, and you cleaned it out. Now, of course, it's dirt floors. It's not, you don't have a vacuum cleaner. You're sweeping it. You've got kernels that are stuck on the bottom of the floor. So, it's not like, you have to sit there and start picking each one out. I imagine a brisker doing that, You could go ahead and sweep it out your usual way, nice and latoka chulin, and then put chulin into the storeroom. Because even though there'll be a mixture of some of those kernels on the bottom, undoubtedly that will be truma. But guess what? Be normal. Now, the other thing is that there's a din of bittul here. You don't need bittul b'shishim over here. You don't see bittul b'rov.
You're not treating it like it's food anymore.
So that's a big shiloh. That question, what's the answer to that question? There are a big machloikas rishonim over here. How to answer that shaila? The Ramban, Rambam, other rishonim. I'm just going to give you a taste of this. I looked into this. It's a very interesting sugya. Some say the Mishnah is talking about Truma Drabbanan. So that's why the Drabbanan won't make all over here. The Rambam clearly says there's no difference between whether it's Deraisa or Drabbanan. It's Mutter in any case, in any event. And
No.
I'm not talking about the din of avat. We're talking about is what's the heter of aim avat l'shel hachila over here?
What's don't the, you have to have das to be mevat l'shel?
You do have das. You did not clean it out so well. You swept it out, but you didn't clean it out so well.
Yeah.
And then you're going to go ahead and refill the room with chulin.
Right.
When you refill the room with chulin, you know you're being mevat l'shel. You're saying you don't even have a mind to be mevat l'shel. That's what you're saying. Could be. Could be that's not your main intent. That could be another teretz. Maybe that'll be another teretz. I'm sure I didn't think of that one. But others, the Ramban has a gewaldic zog over here. Ramban says, because when I'm matfresh truma, I have in mind that I don't want truma, kedushas truma, to be chal on every little kernel that's going to be left over. So mela, the stuff that's left over on the bottom doesn't even have a shem truma. Doesn't even have a shem truma. Peladek is kiddush. Anyway, so you have several towards them over here to this question. Again, it might be drabanan. It might be that it's the normal way it's done. It might be that it's not chal Hashem Shuman at all together. Whatever, different towards. V'chein, hachavet shal shem and shenishpacha. If you have a barrel of truma, oil that's spilled on the ground. You don't have to sit there and start wiping up every single last drop. Whatever you would do with chulin, that's the way you do it here too. Now let's suppose you're pouring from one barrel to another. I'm selling you truma, right? Let's put it that way. Right? Well, it doesn't have to be sale. I'm the kohen. I've got a truma barrel. I'm not the kohen. I'm the Yisrael. I have truma in a barrel, and I'm pouring into the kohen's barrel to give it to him, right? So all the oil is coming out of the barrel. So how long do I have to stand there? I mean, the thing could be dripping for hours, right? How long do you have to stand there?
Whatever normal you do.
What's normal? So it says, v'nitav sholosh tipin, and then eventually the flow stops and it starts to drip. Once three drops have dripped in there, shungut, you can then turn the barrel up on its side. And then you could go ahead and put in what? Refill it with oil. this is the way it is. If I take my car for an oil change, if he takes out the cans of oil, he sticks the thing in there, he pours the oil can in there. So, if he just waits for it to stop going clock, 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 and then there's a little bit of oil that's seeping out. He doesn't want to wait, he doesn't have patience. He takes it and he throws away the cans. I lost a couple of tablespoons of oil there, okay?
I want you to know that years ago,
yeah,
the garage owners, they used to take all those drips that were in the can and pour it in one, and one guy got all those things.
Right.
In New York City, I know what happened, and they caught the guy.
Good.
Wait, the used oil?
No,
it was the fresh oil. He collected the dregs. And it added up. If you're doing a lot of oil changes, it'll add up.
Yeah,
let's see. You want to say something?
You're dating yourself because nobody uses cans of oil anymore.
I know exactly. You're right. Nobody does it anymore. Okay.
No, it's all plastic and things. Used to be cans.
Okay. Next. Next. Here, Kino, if you incline the barrel after the three drops dripped out, umitzas. And now, if you let it stand there without refilling it with regular chulin oil, you just let the barrel sit there, guess what's going to happen? All the oil that's on the sides of the barrel will start dripping all the way down to the bottom through gravity. And then eventually you're going to have a bunch of oil at the bottom of the barrel.
That's right? Exactly what I was saying.
That's what you were talking about.
Yeah.
That already, harays a truma. Once it's collected, although you had a right to fill it originally, but once it's collected, it's truma. You got to be, right? That's what it says. 13. If it pooled at the bottom of the barrel, then that's prohibited. And finally, Kama Tehe Betrumas Maisa Shaltamai. So here it's like this. I go ahead and I have a miser of the mai, right? So I'm collecting miser. So when does it accumulate to a point where I have to give it? The miser, normally if it's miser, I don't have to give it to the lady because Hamotzim Kamei Olav Harai, it proved to me that this was really miser. I have to be my first miser, but I can eat it myself. But the part that I can't eat is the Trumas miser. So I take off Trumas miser. So when do I have to deliver that to the Kohen? As soon as I take a tablespoon of Trumas miser, I have to run to the Kohen. How long is it that I have to... How long do I have till I accumulate on enough that I have to make a delivery? That's, I think, the way you explain it here.
Is that an annual thing? It's based on...
He says over here...
15.
In 14, he says, or 15, one is not actually obligated to deliver even definite truma to a Kohen, let alone truma of Demai. Rather, the burden is on the Kohen to come pick it up, right? He has to pick it up. There is an obligation to notify the Kohen when you have Trumas Miser available to be picked up. Yes. So this obligation, as well as the obligation to keep Trumas Miser, is in a protected place to give it to the Kohen. The Mishnah wonders how much Trumas Miser of the mind must one accumulate before these obligations come into play. Okay, that's very interesting. So it's the amount is, let's just get to the bottom line, last words for tonight, is Echad Mishmaino Lishminis. 1/8 of an eighth of a log.
How much an RD?
1/64 of a log. That's a small amount.
It's a very small amount. A log is 6 eggs. 1/64 of six eggs. So I was trying to figure this out. So if you let's take it down to 1 egg. So 1 egg is 1/6 of the 6 eggs, right?
Right.
So take down the 1/64 to make it.
Like
one tenth.
Close to a tenth.
So it's a tenth of an egg.
Which is
a tenth of an egg, which is next to nothing.
I thought you would have to just do this once a year at the end of the crop, at the end of whatever. Every time, yeah. Every week, going in every 15 minutes, I got another.
Hello.
At the end of every.
It sounds ridiculous, right? Abe?
Now we know why they created WhatsApp. We'll have a WhatsApp group for you.
WhatsApp Truma notification. Very good.
Well, you know what?